This is Mae Brussel, broadcast number 615, September 19th, 1983. It's side two. We're emanating from Pacific Grove, California. KAZU-FM, Pacific Grove, California. For those of you who hear these broadcasts every week, if you do not have the sheets that accompany the tapes, some people subscribe to the tapes, others hear these off the air, you can write to me at P.O. Box 22511. Carmel 93922. Send self-addressed stamped envelope and tell me which broadcast they're usually numbered, or the date you heard it, or the subject matter, because you hear them at different times in different cities. Some of them are months later, and the time or date doesn't matter. They should hold up for all time, and I hope they do. But just tell me what it was that you heard that interested you, and I'll send you the sources of information for that. And if you want to subscribe, I can tell you how to get them in case you miss any of the broadcasts and you listen to them regularly. Now, I mentioned the reasons for getting rid of Larry McDonald and the interconnecting links of Larry McDonald to various trials and investigations that his Western goals would be attached to. I mentioned that 2 weeks ago. And as I say, number one on the list was the Lynx investigation, Los Angeles Police Department. Now, briefly, I'll give you a rundown of what happened in Los Angeles with the police department up to when this story really broke, and then what's happened, as I say, since Larry McDonald died. Because the investigation is still going on, it's so huge, it may out Watergate, and it should be. The Los Angeles Police Department was the one that Lewis Tackwood wrote about in his book, The Glass House Tapes. That is available, I believe, in a paperback, and it tells you about their operations and departments. This is a brief rundown that affects the immediate airline story that we're talking about now. In 1970, the Public Disorder Intelligence Division, it's short PDID, Public Disorder Intelligence Division, was created by Ed Davis. He was chief of police of Los Angeles. He was police chief around there when Robert Kennedy was murdered at the Ambassador Hotel, and a pile of other movie stars and rock stars and so forth. And this disorder intelligence was to infiltrate law-abiding people who hadn't committed crimes, and then the police agents were involved as provocateurs, doing bombings, murders, being 6 feet away from a woman that was stabbed, an agent provocateur hired by the police department, and killing, as Lewis Tackwood said they did for them, and so forth. The police chief set this up to discredit a group of approximately 200 organizations and link them all to communists and have information on these various people, public officials, actors, writers. And this was going on in police stations all over the United States. The most notorious, the Red Squad in New York. John Reese worked with them from Western Goals. But Los Angeles was the area I was interested in because I live in California. Reagan was governor here for 8 years, so I was getting a really good view just being here and taking the California papers. In 1970, the police chief had the nerve to form this group. Of course, the Vietnam War was going on. There were protests, and people were not supposed to oppose the war. Now, in the chronology that the Los Angeles Times printed January the 19th, 1983, they jump conveniently to April 1975. That's a very good history. They say April 1975, nearly 2 million outdated intelligence files were ordered destroyed by the Civilian Police Commission. Can you imagine 2 million files? We can't get these figures far from our head. I want you to remember them because they're very important. That many files were ordered destroyed in 1975. That was the time of the Senate Watergate hearings were winding down, when Senator Church was doing his work, when Ronald Reagan was working with the Rockefeller Commission to cover up the murders around the world and in the United States of John Kennedy particularly. And it was the time when the Pike Report was coming out, the House of Representatives, the Senate, the appointed commissions were investigating all these dirty tricks all over the world. So by 1975, they said, destroy these files on civilians. These are civilians that didn't commit crimes. Now, in between 1970 and 75, they leave that out. 1972 was when E. Howard Hunt and James McCord and G. Gordon Liddy and Henry Kissinger and the White House plumbers were working with the Beverly Hills Chief of Police, Jack Eggers, and with the Los Angeles Police Department. That was the time when the hotel, the offices, rather, of Dr. Fielding were burglarized, and Elmer Davis was sent to prison for 3 years by the Beverly Hills Police, and the White House plumbers did it. They were very active. The Beverly Hills, Los Angeles Police with their disinformation, their Squad 19. It was James McCord with the military unit I wrote about in my first article, Why Was Martha Mitchell Kidnapped? A lot on the police department. Well, the chronology jumps to 1975 when all these various agencies in Washington were saying, get rid of these files. And by 1975, they ordered destroyed 2 million outdated files. Okay. 1976, a year later, the police commission adopted guidelines to restrict the information that the police department can keep on innocent people attending various meetings and so forth. August 76, 1 year later, Connie Milazzo, M-I-L-A-Z-Z-O, infiltrated the Progressive Labor Party, and she was exposed as a police agent standing a few feet away from a man that was murdered, and the political spying on her role continued. It showed that there was a violation of the guidelines. They weren't supposed to be doing it. June 1978, there was a coalition against police abuse. The LAPD has a death squad just identical to the 3A in Argentina or the Guerrillas of Christ in Spain or in Bolivia, the Christ the King, the Killers in Spain, the Guerrillas, or in Argentina, Alliance, the Anti-Communist Alliance Against Communism. There are death squads in Los Angeles, and they are horrendous. So there was a coalition against police abuse. It was the first of six lawsuits against the police with the unconstitutional infringement on the rights of people to organize. By July 78, a month later, the Citizens Commission on Police Repression, an anti-police spying group, released a list of 200 organizations that had intelligence targets. They were targeted by the agency, by the police department. They had 200 targets at the time, constitutional groups of people meeting. I even saw an FBI report of mine from Freedom of Information. I went to talk to the Kiwanis Club one day. That's the kind of stuff they put in it. 200 targets, 2 million files that they had, ordered destroyed, and they find out 3 years later they have 200 organizations still targeted. By April of 1980, a year and a half later, there were more disclosures of the police connections, and they started to have tighter guidelines. By May of 80, a month later, the police documents obtained through lawsuits showed that the undercover people were still working and gathering information. And they not only got new information, but the other was supposed to be destroyed. November 1981, the police documents revealed that an undercover officer informed superiors about private meetings that he knew about where Mayor Bradley met with members of the United Farm Workers in 1970. He's the mayor, and the farm workers pick our fruits and vegetables that they send all over the world. But the mayor has to have a spy there taking bugging or present who reports what the mayor of Los Angeles says to farm workers who happen to live around Los Angeles area also. By February 82, police intelligence documents said that a group was created to protest the controversial shooting of Eula, E-U-L-I-A, Love, and it was infiltrated by undercover officers who organized a march to City Hall. And these undercover officers were writing anti-police material to show that the people that objected to this poor black woman who was gunned down, I think she owed a gas bill of like $8 that was paid, or she had the check in her hand. They gunned her down, and then they had people in the police department writing letters against the police to show how vicious the black people are when she was killed, and everyone defends the police then. So that was going on. In March 82, there were more disclosures of police intelligence abuse, and a new third set of guidelines was set up. By April 82, the city paid an activist, Seymour Meyerson, a $27,500 settlement, five-year lawsuit that they didn't like his politics. He wasn't a communist. They didn't like what he said or wrote or letters to the editor. They didn't like him. The city settled it. It was the first time they settled a spying suit, $27,500. October 82, police documents were prepared for the Office of Chief of Police, saying that the intelligence information long described as garbage by the department, those 2 million files that they said are totally worthless, were being channeled not only in the police department, but up the chain of command to the higher police officers, not the lower ones, but the law-abiding citizens, writers, actors, rock musicians, people that protest all kinds of oppression or police murders. It was going higher up, so then a second investigation on that. on whether or not Chief of Police Gates misled them on the spying case. The probe was investigated, and he had been lying. They did have these papers, and after all these investigations, they were still moving him higher up. Now, you may wonder what this has to do with Flight 007, but we're going to get to that soon and tie this all together. By November the 8th, 1982, the Los Angeles school superintendent, Jerry Halverson, H-A-L-V-E-R-S-O-N, said that police agents from the public disorder group offered him dossiers on school employees, like he could fire them if they were left or if they didn't like war, they were in favor of abortion. Teachers could be fired. And he reported that the police commission had these files, that they were ordered destroyed, but they were using them for jobs to blacklisting, just like they did in the McCarthy years. It's still going on today, and it'll be on tomorrow. By November 1982, Mr. Gates, the chief of police, asked the district attorney's office to investigate whether these files that were originally ordered to be destroyed had been removed from the police department where he was keeping them. They were illegally kept, and then they were illegally removed. By December of 14, 1982, they found that an undercover officer had infiltrated these various parties and had sex with these people. There was a bloody clash and violence, and that the police, in fact, had been an active part of this, and they wanted to circumvent the guidelines, and because of the controversy or an investigation, they were moving the files, the intelligent files had been removed from the police department so that the police commission couldn't investigate that they had gone higher up. Now, January the 4th, the beginning of this year, 1983, the grand jury convened and found that Detective J.S. Paul, the one I described on broadcast, oh, this goes back a while back to the Larry McDonald story when it first broke, May 30th, broadcast 599. J. Paul told his superiors that he took the sensitive intelligence records to his home years after they were ordered destroyed, and that a search of his home turned out dossiers on police commission members, on various organizations and people and judges in Los Angeles. And January the 7th, J. Paul led them to more than 50 boxes in a Long Beach garage that they were told to be burned years ago. Not only were they burned, but they were going to higher-ups up. When the higher-up were being investigated, he took them home. And by January the 10th, 1983, a councilman, Zev Yaroslavsky, Yaroslavsky, said that a police intelligence agent told him that his name was on those files. And by January the 12th, 1983, the police commission met, and they had information January the 17th, 83, about the connections of these people investigating judges such as Jerry Pack, and that there were three decades of public life in these files, 30 years. That goes back to 1950s to Senator Joe McCarthy, and John Reese and Louise Reese and the whole gang were still active. Well, what happened, I started collecting the articles. I have many of them. I have over 200 articles just since January on this story, put in chronological order in two notebooks. But when the story broke and they found these were in the garage of J. Paul, it was that broadcast that I did May 24th that told you that they turned up in the garage being put into a computer run by Larry McDonald, a Democrat out of Georgia, the president of the Birch Society, into an organization called Western Goals that has the top military, the organized crime syndicate, and files going back 50 years. One article that January of 83, the first of this year, described some of the organizations, 200 organizations that are involved. Here's a few of them. The Coalition Against Police Abuse, the Alliance for Survival. Isn't that terrible? The Communist Party, USA, the Black Panthers, the Teamsters for Democratic Union, the Peace and Freedom, the Progressive Labor, the Greater Watts on Justice Center. Isn't that terrible? Scientology, La Raza Unida, that's the Chicana group. The People's College of Law, Democratic Socialist Organization, the Vince Ramos Brigade, the anti-nuclear groups, all of them, the American Friends Service Committee, the Southern Christian Leadership, United Farm Workers, Local 80, the Civil Liberties Union, the Community Relations Conference, the Juvenile Justice Center, the Socialist Workers Party, the New Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, Women For, which is a women's organization. I'm just giving you about 20 names. There were 200 organizations and 2 million files going back 30 years. That's a pretty long time. Now, the Larry McDonald air crash went down September the 1st. The president didn't go to the services. He disassociated himself. I mentioned 2 weeks before the crash went down, on the front page of the Washington Post, August the 18th, 1983, was the first mention that Larry McDonald and Western Goals would have to go out to Los Angeles to testify about how their $100,000 computer tied in with the files that were ordered destroyed 10 years ago that were used by the highest police officers that go into the Birch Society, into Roy Cohn's crime syndicate, into Edward Teller's anti-nuclear protests against his lousy bombs. Now, after the Larry McDonald crash September the 1st, the first public links to Western Gold that I saw was September 13th, just 2 weeks later. ACLU wins a look at the new cache of PDID data. That's C-A-C-H-E, not C-A-S-H. Okay, it says the Superior Court judge in Los Angeles ordered the police department to investigate not only J. Paul, but another policeman, PDID from that department, Lieutenant Thomas Scheidecker, S-C-H-E-I-D-E-C-K-E-R, has been named along with, there's 131 plaintiffs suing this class action suit. Scheidecker, another policeman, had seven boxes in his home of 10,000 pages of documents, and he doesn't want to reveal what they are. He says, many are personal in nature. They cover a wide variety of subjects. When I was in L.A., I saw the play Chaplin, and there's a scene there about his making the movie The Great Dictator and being kicked out of this country, and then he returns to the United States, as maybe you know, in 1972 to get an Academy Award and some recognition in Hollywood. Well, there are FBI reports that there were cameras behind Charlie Chaplin on the stage that photographed every person in the audience who wanted to see Charlie Chaplin in 1972. That makes you an enemy of the state. They can entrap you or any other thing. If you are sympathetic to Charlie Chaplin in 1972, that is in these files. Now, Scheidecker has hired an attorney. He had many of the boxes. He had 10,000 pages of his own, and J. Paul has 180 boxes of material. They're now microfilming it. See, at first it was 30 and then 40. Now it's 180. The L.A. Herald said that Olson, the judge, granted an order impelling the officials from Virginia-based Western Goals, a right-wing nonprofit foundation attempting to create a database for internal security information to give depositions. They're trying to get a database. This is 30 years of files. 2 million from LA alone that go into their computer, and 200 organizations. Okay? It says Linda Guell, G-U-E-L-L, and John Reese of Western Goals have been ordered to report about their group. They'll give depositions to the grand jury October 4th and 5th. That'll be in 2 weeks. The article in the Herald says this is going to establish the so-called abuses of the police department were not frolicsome or isolated. They are inextricably connected to the political objectives and activities of the most extremist right-wing element of this society. That's why Ronald Reagan wasn't at those services and isn't talking about Paul. The article in the Herald said Paul refused to answer questions of his connections to Western Goals and their links to right-wing groups among the top officials, including Chief of Police Daryl Gates. Another story in the LA Times, September the 14th, the next day, Alexandria, Virginia. The judge refused to squash a subpoena to bring the head of Western Goals, an anti-communist group with computerized data on police subversives with the help of Los Angeles Police Department. They refused to squash the indictment against Linda Guell, the director. They said she may be even a defendant in this case. Now, she tried to get out because she said her testimony isn't necessary material. See, the necessary material would be Larry McDonald, right? But he's dead. She can't get out of it. The judge says go to L.A. This case says if she's called to testify, she'll use the Fifth. You know how Joe McCarthy didn't like the Fifth when he asked questions. It says J. Paul ran the computer operation from his wife's law office in Long Beach using $100,000 worth of equipment purchased by Western Goals, founded in 1979 by Larry McDonald, who also was chairman of the John Birch Society and is one of the 269 that went down. This Jewel, she will use her, invoke her Fifth Amendment right against incrimination before the grand jury. Western Goals and his director, J. Paul, and Ms. Jewel must testify. J. Paul's wife, Ann Love, will be called in to explain. She signed, Larry McDonald signed a $30,000 contract with a police officer, J. Paul's wife, to maintain the computer spying in her Long Beach law office. I think you get the point. I brought it out when this story first broke. The investigation is going on. Another article about the lawyers in this case. They have hired four lawyers for the police department. Now 131 people are in the lawsuit. There are 50 policemen involved from the PDID department as defendants. All of the defendants in the department except J. Paul, directly linked to Western Goals, and Mr. Scheidecker will have the same law office represented by Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher. That's the law office of Ronald Reagan, Howard Hughes, the entire COINTEL military spy Lockheed espionage establishment. Lockheed was the home base in California and in Georgia of Larry McDonald. The law offices carrying this are Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher for the 50 policemen, and there are separate lawyers for J. Paul and Mr. Scheidecker because of conflict of interest. Now, this is a story that will not be closed up quickly, even though the preceding part has not been on the wire services. I've tried to keep you up on it, and I have not even delved into the LAPD articles or files because it broke into two sections. One, the killing, the death squads, the spying, the documents that have been kept and preserved. Then the second part was in May of 1983, when all of a sudden Larry McDonald and Western Goals get into this, into a full page section, you know, of the LA Times of the links, because when you get the military, that you don't have to have the Army, or these are really working for the CIA and the Defense Department. All you have to have is all the local police snooping, infiltrating, setting up, setting these names, preserving these documents, then sending them through this $100,000 computer and $30,000 a year into a office in Long Beach, back again to the top military, like Admiral Moore, who is the close liaison of Henry Kissinger, the fellow who was partying up in Vail, Colorado with Gerald Ford. All of their dirty tricks, if this goes back 30 years, the dirty tricks of Gerald Ford and the Warren Commission and the California people who were subpoenaed by Jim Garrison to go back involved with the murder of John Kennedy, and Reagan was governor and he wouldn't set them back, or the following people involved with the Robert Kennedy assassination, or the Sharon Tate massacre that was set up by the police department, or the SLA, the killing of those people by the SWAT team that was part of Stanford Research and the Los Angeles Police Department and Jonestown, and the links of Los Angeles and Jim Jones to the Los Angeles Police Department and up to Sacramento to the law enforcement. Now, keeping in mind that there is an investigation on all this, and that your files, 2 million of it, have been saved, and 200 organizations for 30 years, and how McDonald's organization was set up in 1979 to transfer it right back into the right wing, Senator Joe McCarthy, Georgetown spy, the Michael Ledeens and the Claire Sterlings and the Robert Mosses and all the liars who talk about terrorism, pump it into their machines and set people up for real terrorism. What I was saying is that one section I had watching the LAPD for, ever since I've done my research and since those people were not extradited to the murder of John Kennedy. And then in January, when these police file stories broke, I have all of those going from January, and it's almost a year now of the police files. Then in May, in the middle of the year, enters the Larry McDonald file. So you have the police and then the Larry McDonald. And then Larry McDonald branches off to the military and the mob and Roy Cohn and back to Permandex and the Borghese's and the Murder Incorporated and that group with McDonald as the kingpin. But then the third element that I did want to do this summer, and I'll be getting into it shortly, is the Olympic Games coming in Los Angeles. The fight between the security of the Olympic Games, and I mention this over and over again, and the reason I refer to the possibility of a Reichstag or overthrowing the government or taking it in a national emergency is that the Olympics and the security is being handled by the FBI and the CIA, and these files could be used to round up people, just as when the convention was moved in 1972 from San Diego to Miami, people like Frank Sturgis, who worked with those gentlemen whose names I mentioned to you in the first half of this broadcast, those people, he had a tax-deductible church where he was stockpiling weapons. And in Texas, when Officer Tippett was killed, a man who shot him went to a church down below the church stockpiled weapons. The gun running of these people is hidden behind the Vatican cloaks, behind the Israeli synagogues. The point is that churches are sacrosanct, and in the churches are the weapons and so forth. The tax-deductible church for Frank Sturgis, who worked for these people. So the Olympic Games security is a factor. I wish, because of the Korean Air flight, that there would be no Olympic Games. I wish they had a party and nobody came, because then they couldn't blame the Russians, but they would find some way, say they didn't come so sour grapes they dropped a bomb or a germ bomb, and therefore we have to round everybody up. Even they stayed away because they were going to create violence and didn't want to be caught. Whether they're there or not there, the script would probably be to blame them. Could they get away with it? Of course they could. When I see the reaction of the news media and listen to the talk shows about Flight 269 without a piece of evidence of the massive spying that was going on, I believe that the mind can be set like wax with the very first print. And in the heat of the anger, the opinions are made. Then later, things take on a different aura, a different appearance than what they were the first day or two after any particular tragedy takes place. Incidentally, if you want to order some appropriate T-shirts or calendars or cups for the year, there's a George Orwell Society, the 1984 group. Write to 1984, or Orwell, P.O. Box 750, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, 17603. You can get a shirt that says, Big Brother is Watching You, 1984. You can get a 1984 Elect George Orwell President. You can get a 1984 calendar. You can order buttons, Big Brother is Watching You, or coffee mugs or bumper stickers for your car. So I think we should say Larry McDonald is watching you, or Roy Cohn is watching you, or Henry Kissinger. Call it the Kissinger 1984. But anyway, this story of the airplane crash, I'll go into more detail next week. Larry Flynt had a full-page ad in many newspapers, the L.A. Times, the Washington Post, on life, liberty, and the pursuit of Flight 007. And the full page begins, why was Congressman Larry McDonald on board Flight 007? Next week, we'll get right to that. I'll share that with you. I went up to the offices of Larry Flynt. I happened to be in L.A. and wanted to do a story for Hustler on Larry McDonald, the LAPD, Murder Incorporated, and what Western Goals is. They told me to send an outline, and they would consider that story. So maybe we can get it out in a magazine like Hustler. Larry Flynt should know what happened. He was shot in Georgia, not far from Marietta, Georgia, which is the home base of Larry McDonald, the head of Western Goals. Their offices are in Virginia. It's part of the CIA, but home base for Congress is Georgia. In the meantime, we'll take a break for 1 week now, because the time is up. These tapes are only an hour. Unfortunately, I'd like to do two or three, but that would get too expensive. We'll continue more on the flight. But I think it was very important, if they were going to spy on the Soviet Union and use it in conjunction with a satellite and a spy plane, put Larry on there. They knew it was the 30th anniversary of the Korean War, and that he had to go to Korea, or was invited to Korea, and it was arranged to go to celebrate with the great anti-communists this event. So this way, a very important man involved with... These are not simple files. You wouldn't blow them up for one piece of paper to testify. We're talking about 200 organizations, 30 years of file on 2 million people in L.A. that had been ordered legally to be destroyed and were used not by the underlings, but the chiefs of police and the former chief of staff, Admiral Moore, and the entire military could get into their hands through that massive computer in Long Beach. We'll do more on that next week. In the meantime, this is Mae Bressel, KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California.